Is it accurate?
Do we
unknown.
Have a Bible around here? Do we have a children's Bible around here?
Jack Yarrow. Handsome, smart, and a walking work of art.
He did what he could with the material he had to work with, which is honestly not much for a show called Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Is it great? No. Is it great? Absolutely. What Joseph did you see?
I don't know.
Hi everyone, welcome back to After Broadway, the podcast where we deep dive into anything and everything musical theater from the comfort of my car. I'm Tara.
I'm Stefania.
And in today's episode, we're talking about Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Go, go, go.
Also, right off the bat, we're recording this on January 26th, which is extremely fitting because it is the 35th anniversary of The Phantom of the Opera, and we will be talking about the Lord, Andrew Lloyd Webber, a lot in this episode, and I feel like Phantom may or may not come up at some point during this. Also, happy first episode back.
We're here.
I would say Happy New Year, but it's February, so hope you all had a lovely January.
A relaxing January, maybe.
Yeah. We are talking about Joseph because it is in Toronto. It's actually ending in a couple weeks after episode release, or on the day of the episode release. It's like a couple weeks left for you to see it in Toronto. It is a rumor that it's going to Broadway, but that rumor has been here for a very long time, and there's been no other updates to this rumor. So at this point, I feel like the rumor might be dead, but we also have no idea.
Well, the biggest backup for that rumor is that Toronto is a major out-of-town tryout city, particularly for West End things. The most recent thing, obviously, Anne Juliet had its North American premiere here in Toronto this past summer and then went straight to Broadway. But that was announced kind of during the Toronto run. Mm-hmm. Whereas this Joseph, Toronto also gets West End transplants that then never make it to New York. So
yeah.
It's really 50-50 on this. The only thing that really makes me think that it is going to go to New York is that they brought, like, most of the original West End cast to Toronto.
Yeah.
Including the star, who we'll talk about later. And I think that's the biggest piece of evidence for me that it's, like, New York bound or New York aimed.
Right. Do you think it would, like... Actually, no, it won't go off Broadway and then on Broadway. If they're going to take it, it's just going to go straight to.
No. No, yeah. It would have to be for when Bad Cinderella inevitably flops and
Phantom's closed. Yeah.
We need another ALW show on The Great White Way, and it will have to be this.
It's true.
We'll talk about whether I think that's
a good choice or a bad
correct,
choice.
Correct. Later, I guess, but yeah.
Yeah, well, to start this off, what is your first, like, memory? What do you know of Joseph? Like, what do you know about this show?
The big answer is not that much. I definitely had seen the Donny Osmond filmed version before. I think I've talked about it before. My mom, growing up, was a big Donny Osmond fan, and so saw it here in the 90s in Toronto, because Joseph also has a very storied history with the city of Toronto. Mm-hmm. And she saw it here. My parents saw it here with Donny Osmond, as I'm sure your parents did.
Mine did, too.
And
like baby Corey on their lap.
And baby Corey, not baby Tara.
No, baby I was born. Oh, when they saw it here, was I born? I think I was, maybe not. I don't even know.
If you weren't born, like Corey must
no,
have
No, I
been
must have been born.
One.
No, I must have been born.
Like literally
I think
one.
He was two or turning three. So I was like a baby.
So Tara was not invited is basically the answer to that. So I definitely had like seen at least bits and pieces of the filmed Donny Osmond version. Mm-hmm. And the only song I really knew until maybe like early 2020
a week ago?
Was, no, not a week ago, was Any Dream Will Do. I knew that song.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say like early 2020 when the, that Michael Arden production, I
the Kennedy
was,
Center,
at the Kennedy Center, starring Noah Galvin and like a huge star-studded cast. We watched that Megamix, and
yeah.
I think, and like, beyond that, really, my knowledge of Joseph was, like, fairly limited. I went to Catholic school, like, I know who Joseph was, but, like, the musical itself was, like, really mostly new to me when I saw it last week.
Right.
What about you, Tara?
Complete opposite. I have been a Joseph fan since I was, I want to say, in, like, grade one. We watched this at Hebrew school every year, and to the point that, like, I own the VHS, the 1999 VHS of the Donny Osmond filmed Joseph, which it must be just filmed at, like, a studio, I would say.
It's kind of the, like, precursor to something like Grease Live or The Sound of Music
Live.
Yeah, totally.
Like, yeah.
On a soundstage.
I was and still am obsessed with the role of the narrator. Specifically, the narrator in that 1999 movie is Maria Friedman, and I wanted to be her. Like, I loved her interpretation. And I think, looking back and thinking about this, Joseph was probably my first, like, venture into musical theater without knowing what musical theater is. And, like, the first thing that I really loved that was a musical. And I just, like, wanted to be her. Like, she was someone that I loved. I really loved that movie. I was saying to my mom, because I saw it with my parents again, like, 2 days ago. Like, there was a time when I watched that video every day. I still know it, like, inside and out. So Joseph is, like, something that I've known for years. And to finally get to see it, because I've never seen it on stage, mm-hmm. was, like, very exciting to me. Even this, like, version, which is completely different than any other version. Sure. For those that don't know, I would say that this version is a kids' show. And there are many children in the cast. And if you walk in not knowing that it's a kids' show, you're going to be, like, in for a surprise, basically. So we'll get more into that later. Where do you want to start? I guess my question to you is, what did you think of this production?
What did I think? That's actually a very difficult question to answer, because...
Do we actually want to start with, like, the rush ticket pricing of this, the pricing of, like, actually, whatever? Because I feel like we'll start from the top and end up where you saw it.
Right. So, this production of Joseph in Toronto is not really selling well, is, I think, the thesis statement of that.
It sold very well over Christmas, which I think is what they were hoping for, but just like New York and the West End, I presume, the January is a slump month for theater, and it's really not selling well.
You know, speaking of that, I asked my mom, who I already spoken about, I was like, do you want to go see Joseph? And she's like, it's a bit cold outside.
Truly. We just had a snowstorm yesterday.
And I'm like, you know, yesterday was brutal. And I'm like, honestly, you're absolutely right. It is a bit cold outside. And she's like, maybe I would see it in the summer, but not now. And I'm like, honestly, like, yes, I agree.
My dad said the same thing the other day. He was like, if this was here in the summer, I'm sure it would have been busy every night, because it's just mm-hmm. something to do with your kids, especially because they're off of school. That was the main reason why I think it did so well over Christmas, like, holidays, is because kids were off of school. Even, like, March break would be great, because you're off for that, like, but it's only a week, so it's hard. It was here for, like, 3 months.
And also in the summer, the days are so much longer.
Yeah.
Whereas now, it's, like, so dark, it's wet, it's gloomy. Like, Toronto has not had sun
in a month. No, it's been bad. Yeah.
Like, we're tired. And so, that's, I think, a huge reason why it's not selling. Like, just the environment of the city. So, I ended up seeing it on a rush ticket. And you can buy rush tickets for Mirvish either online or in person at the box office. Online, you pay the $5 fee, unless you're a subscriber, which Tara is, which waives the $5 fee, or in person, you don't pay the $5 fee. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of shows, I have online rushed, paid that $5 fee, because the tickets go really quickly. And for Joseph, I was 0% concerned about doing that whatsoever. I watched the ticket sales, but I walked up to the box office, shows at 8, I walked to the box office at 6:30 and said, hey, I'm looking for a single ticket in Center Orchestra, what can you do for me? And where did I sit? I sat row C.
That's close. 21.
It was, like, mid, because there's, like, rows like A, A, B, B, C, C, D, D, whatever.
No, but for, like, a rush ticket, like, that's pretty good.
And it's easy when you're looking for a single ticket, obviously, versus when you're looking for pairs. Like, there were a bunch of singles kind of in the Center Orchestra, whereas pairs, you kind of had to, if you wanted to sit together anyway, you had to sit either at the back or off to the sides. But yeah, like, honestly, a great seat. But the price is $59, which is, like, somewhat steep for a rush ticket. Mirvish has had many rush ticket prices over even just the past year. We paid $29 to see Jake Epstein. we paid $39 to see Anne Juliet, which was then bumped to $59, then bumped to $79.
The $79 was so rude.
They were sold out at that point. I don't think anyone actually paid $79 for
They should have just canceled it, though.
Like, there were just no tickets left at that point, but they were bumped. So over the course of, like, a few weeks, it was bumped from $39 to $59 to $79. These ones are $59 or in the midpoint. I think Pressure, the play, which is playing right now, is $39. Mean Girls was $59, but again, they were not really available.
Yeah, and as of this very moment, like, Hamilton, we assume, will not have a rush. They'll probably just have the Hamilton lottery on the app. And that's all right now. I mean, there's a couple off-Mirvish, but those prices also vary.
Yes, the off-Mirvish is usually $29 to $39. I do think it's odd. I mean, obviously, I want it to be more convenient for me, but I think Mirvish should set a standard rush price for all of their shows, or maybe one price for all off-Mirvish and one price for all, like, main season shows. Because having each show be a different price based on, I don't know, what they value it as is weird to me.
It's also one of those things that, like, we always now have in the back of our minds that we've paid $39, so anything above that is too expensive. So it's kind of, like, turned people off, I want to say.
$59, honestly, my friends, I saw Joseph Alone, and I was like, oh, maybe I can get a friend to go with me. They're like, it's a little expensive.
I'm
like,
it is expensive.
It is expensive.
And then so. I was lucky enough to see it. So the first time I saw it off of a media ticket, but the second time I saw it was... my family took advantage of the Boxing Day deal, which was like buy one, get one for a dollar, which turned out to be all of the seats were like $65. So for that, like,
even
$5 more.
You bought three tickets?
Yeah, I don't know why that worked, but it worked. And even though the price is $5 more, I was like more okay to do that than the rush ticket because, one, I was going with my parents and it's very different to have them be like, okay, we're going today. Whereas, like, me and you could do that, or me alone or you alone. And also, we could pick wherever we wanted to sit.
And you're all together too.
Yeah. So, like, that was, I think the Mirvish Boxing Day deals are great. I hope they do, like, more, like, surprise deals like that. I know I just got an email today that, like, Harry Potter has a deal on right
now
too.
Harry Potter is a big deal right now.
But also, let's just tell you
the
outright.
The Harry Potter rush is $59. The lottery, how much is the lottery?
It's $19.
Right now? $19.
Yeah. So enter the lottery first and then try your luck at rush tickets. Because we know lots of people that won off
the lottery. Everyone I know has won the lottery. But when we won the lottery, we paid $50.
I know. Like, that's the other thing. I really do not love the surge pricing. No, we're not Ticketmaster here. Like, we can't do that off of, like, popularity. It's not fair.
Mirvish needs to look at itself in the mirror and say, hi, it's me.
Did you see that on the trial?
The Senate hearings are happening right now. The Senate hearings about Ticketmaster are happening right now.
I saw that too. Okay, back to your thoughts on this production of Joseph.
Okay, here's the thing. I really enjoyed myself watching this production. However, this was pretty mid. It was mid. I had a wonderful time seeing it, but... as I left, I was like, I don't think there was any reason for this specific production of Joseph to exist. I don't feel it elevated the material in any way. I don't think it added anything to it. I think it was just kind of a fine production of Joseph that you could probably see in a community theater somewhere. there was nothing like wow or special about this specific production of Joseph. How are you feeling about this, Sarah?
I mean, here's the thing. I knew immediately as soon as I saw this that, like, I'm walking in with already, like, a history with this show. Mm-hmm. So, like, it would have had to be bad for me to hate it, I would say. Which my dad actually said that, like, there's nothing wrong with this production. Like, what's not to like type thing. So it's just, like, a very, like, it's a fun time at the theater. It's very short. It's 2 hours with an intermission and a 10-minute Megamix. So when you
have
time not all out, you're losing, like, 30 minutes from that show, which actually makes it our, like... ideal of 90 minutes.
If you cut some of those dance breaks, which
then
went
it could actually
on,
be like 85 minutes.
If you cut like maybe 5 minutes from those Canaan days, I think you've got a one act show.
75 minutes in and out.
But literally, like,
are there labor laws around the children? I don't know.
Well, I'm sure there are, but I think they can do a 90 minute show.
I don't
no
know.
Intermission. Fun. Home
I'm sure they can too.
In it.
Not as many.
Okay, but. It doesn't matter how many kids there are.
I don't know. I don't know the reason that they're doing this. I really don't. And I also don't know, like, we obviously did not see this 25 years ago, 27 years ago, 30 years ago when it was here, whenever that was. So I don't know what, like, the runtime was of it then, but I assume it's around, like, that Donnie video is 75 minutes, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it's short. It's, like, 80 minutes.
Yeah. So it is definitely doable. I agree. A one act could work because there's no really point to break. Although it's like Go, Go, Go Joseph is a great intermission break point, but you don't need to do it. Anyway.
Yeah, what does act two open with again? And the narrator singing to the kids, right?
Yeah, like the, yes,
the pharaoh,
exactly.
About the pharaoh.
Pharaoh story. I liked this production. I really did enjoy the children aspect, and I thought that I would hate the kids because, like, I didn't understand why they were bringing them to play the brothers, but I didn't realize that they were playing more than just the brothers. I thought it was just going to be, like, a few kids, whatever. And then the kids, obviously, off the top for, like, the prologue and I Dream Will Do and the rest of
the
that.
The kids were working hard in this
hard.
Show.
Especially a few of the boys. The few of the boys that are, like, the brothers. And, like, Potiphar and that kid, a star.
Playing the baker? The baker?
The kid that's the baker, the girl that's the butler, like, The girl that's Benjamin? Judah. She was Judah. Because I remember...
One of the kids is Benjamin, too.
One of the kids is Ben... I think it's the same kid that plays Potiphar is Benjamin.
Possibly. That kid's a star.
They really reused, like,
three or
four kids. The girl
doing the front walkovers? The girl doing the gymnastics?
Yes, the goat. Yes,
the
exactly.
The goat kid.
So the kids have a lot to do, and I think, like, what an amazing opportunity for these children.
Oh, for sure.
And they just look like they're having the time of their life on stage. But I agree, like, there's no reason for this production, but then is there any reason for Joseph in general? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Don't get me wrong, I love this score. And I think that this production is great. I literally said this to one of my coworkers the other day. I was like, is it great? No. Is it great? Absolutely.
Like, it's very sweet. What, off the top, when the narrator is singing to the children and then Joseph comes out and starts singing
the door
to the kids, I cried. I literally, like, was, like, tearing up. I was like, this is the cutest thing I've ever seen in my life.
It was also, like, I really do think there are a lot of things going for this production. The set... stunning.
Really,
I think
nice.
It's a really, really, really great use of lighting in this show. I like all of the, like, border of the stage that
was
lights
it,
up.
Was
all
it
the
Go
time.
Go Go Joseph where they were, like, lighting up, like, one at a time or two at a
yeah.
time?
Yeah, and
like,
even
yes, this is good.
It's like Jacob and Son slash, like, Joseph's coat of colors when obviously they're doing the colors, they're yelling them out.
Yeah.
It's changing to the colors.
That was
I also really liked. Yeah, go ahead.
So I was gonna say that was actually one of my favorite parts. I'll shout out the choreographer right now. I think it's Joanne Hunter. Mm. I think it's the song is Joseph's Coat when they're doing the colors, and the girls come out with the scarves and they're like red and yellow and
yeah.
They're like, I was like, they practiced this so hard. They were so aggressive throwing the scarves. The boys are going one way in the circle and all the girls are going the other way in the circle and they're throwing these scarves. I'm like, yes, this is
good. I also really liked in that number because the first time I saw it, I was a little bit closer and to the side, and this time I saw it further back and, like, in the center. Joseph is, like, jumping on the colors to, like, follow spots on the floor. So he's, like, hitting all the colors. So I was like,
wow.
Oh, this is really smart to do this. But very simplistic set, but used in a really great way. The sun that moves
the sun
and
really
changes
nice.
Colors. I love how the narrator, like, uses the sun to, like, change the scene. We go to Egypt. We're in Canaan. We're in Israel. Like, we're everywhere. And then as, like, a personal, like, touch that I really liked, every piece of, like, costume that Joseph wears, as well as whenever they show all of the stars, there's a Star of David in every single one of them, which I think is really nice. However, all of this cast is not Jewish, so that's a whole other story. But I do like that the costumes include the Star of David.
Sure, yes. So, like, as someone who was raised Catholic, I was talking to my mom about this, and she's like, is Joseph Jewish? I'm like, he's got a Star of David on the back of his jacket. I'm gonna go with yes, and I'm like, and... You know, it's in Genesis, so it's in the Torah. So, yes, whereas, like, for us, that does not register. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It just
well,
never occurred to me before.
Because I had also, like, learning this in, like, Hebrew school every Sunday and Wednesday till I had my bat mitzvah. Like, Jacob's sons are the 12 tribes of Israel. So,
oh,
like,
wow.
That's kind of, like, seen with the stars as well. So,
which
one crossed
over?
Which
one is Joseph? Which one is Joseph?
He's the 11th, isn't he? Because I think Benjamin is...
I don't know.
The 12th. I think Joseph is the 11th son. And the favorite, obviously. And the favorite,
wow. Yeah, see, Joseph is not that important in Catholic school, I gotta be honest. Like, he is mentioned, but he is not that important. He is a side... He's a tertiary character.
Well... Because main man is Jesus. And we get to him 2 years later in the Lord's repertoire of musicals.
Right. Yeah, like, definitely for us, Jesus is it. But, like, Adam.
Yeah.
Moses, obviously.
Yes.
Like, you know.
There's a lot of crossover.
There, like, is crossover.
It's
there
the
is crossover.
Same book.
But we've got a lot more characters to focus on, where you've got a lot less characters.
Mm-hmm.
So you can really delve deep into Joseph.
But, like, I don't really know where, like, he got a lot of this, like, source material from. Is it accurate?
Do we have a Bible around here? Do I have a children's Bible around here? Let's see if I have a children's Bible. It might be the New Testament only, though.
A few moments later.
No Joseph in the children's Bible.
And also, like... Other than this story, like, I don't really know anything about Joseph either. I just know that he can decipher dreams.
I forgot that until the show was happening. I was like, wait, he has visions? Like,
yeah,
he's
and
giving,
that really...
That's so Raven. He's giving, we can see into the future.
And then that the brothers are, like, jealous of him because he's Jacob's favorite son. But the reason that he's
Jacob's
favorite son...
And also because he's always talking about his freaking dreams. Like, he's annoying.
We'll talk to him in a sec. We'll get to Joseph being, like, maybe the worst character ever written in a minute. But also, I think the main reason that he's the favorite is because Jacob says that, like, he loved Joseph's mother the most. Like, that was his favorite wife. So just by association, he's the favorite. Can we talk about how cocky Joseph is? Especially when he gets the coat. I mean, what kind of a person walks down and says, I look handsome, I look smart, I am a walking work of art. And you know what? Jack Yarrow, handsome, smart, and a walking work of art. But, like, who says that? It's so fun. The lyrics.
These are quite, I was going to say ALW, but he does not write the lyrics. This is Tim Rice.
It's Tim Rice.
This was early, I guess, in their partnership.
It
early
was like
in their
1970,
collab.
Right? Is that... Correct?
78?
The first production it was at the Edinburgh, oh my god, was it at Edinburgh Fringe in 72? We loved that.
Wow. So how old was the Lord?
Young. So it was 1968, and then Jesus Christ Superstar was 1970. He really went through a religious phase. And then we got Cats, so I don't know. I don't think we got Cats right away. I think maybe Starlight Express was in there.
There was a moment where I heard Cats in the show.
If you listen to it, you can also hear, like, JCS. You can hear a little teeny tiny bit of Phantom. Like,
a little bit of JCS from the narrator. She was giving Judas. She was giving...
Yes.
Every time... Yeah, but... but there was that moment, like... Like, that theme. I was hearing that a lot. I didn't hear as much Phantom, but, like, those are the two that I was like, oh, I
There are, like, little teensy moments of Phantom. I love the, after they sing Any Dream Will Do, it's the beginning of Jacob and Sons, which to me is kind of, like, the overture of the, like, JCS has something very similar. So, like, these two shows that were 2 years apart are, like, play them in reverse, it's the same thing.
Now, ask me about JCS, that is the New Testament. That is in the Precious Moments Bible.
And objectively, a better show, but...
It's a more mature show, and that was what was really struck me when I saw this. I was like, this show is very immature, like, just from all sides, very juvenile. And I don't know if that's just the way it was written, or the way this particular production is staged. I think it might be a bit of both. I think it might be a bit of both, but... It very much was a children's show, which was great because there were a lot of children in the audience when I saw it.
Oh my
God. So I was surrounded by booster seats.
I didn't even tell you when I saw it the other day. So we were there a bit early. So we went down to, like, the lounge, and I love to people watch, as do you. And all of a sudden this, like, big group comes in with, like, grandparents, parents, and then four kids wearing their own coats.
Oh my God. That's so cute.
I was obsessed, and then for the mega wings, because they happened to be sitting in my row, they were standing on their seats, just, like, clapping along. So, like,
so that's
if this is what this production is for,
sure, that's fine.
Give it up.
So yeah, I was surrounded by boosters. I was surrounded by booster seats as well. And so everyone stands up for the Megamix. They're like, get up. So the kids can't see. So parents were sending their kids into the aisles. So their kids were running up from the aisles to so they could see and like dancing in the aisles. I'm like, this is sweet. This is fun. Yeah, I feel like you spend a lot of time in this show just waiting for the Megamix. Like the entire point of it is the Megamix.
Which is hilarious because it's not like they do like little tiny snippets of the songs. We're doing the full songs over again, basically.
Yeah. It's 10 minutes. Honestly, when it was over, I was like, this could have been longer, this Megamix. I could have used more. Give me more.
Perfectly timed streamers. Congratulations to everybody involved. should we talk about performances? Should we talk about songs? Where should we go? I could talk about songs all day long.
Let's talk about performances, then let's go into songs. Okay.
Should we start with the main man himself?
Jack. Let's start with Jack.
Jack. What are your thoughts on Jack Yarrow?
I think Jack gave a lovely, serviceable performance of Joseph, a character who has nothing to do. Like, this man has nothing to do. Like, he is chilling.
He's, like, shirtless, walking around. That's it.
He's just kind of...
What do you mean, nothing to do? He is spinning that coat in every direction.
He's giving capography. He should be at Cursed Child, you know, going...
I appreciate the coat choreography more than the cape choreography.
the entire show, he's just being kind of, like, pushed and pulled around. And then he, like, sings two songs. And then he's just being pushed and pulled around again. In Act 2, because the show's mostly sung through, in Act 2, he speaks for the first time. And I was like, I forgot this man has a British accent.
What do you mean? You couldn't tell in he sings with the accent.
Kind of, but I don't know. It wasn't, like, registering to me.
No, he very much sings with the accent.
It wasn't registering to me, but when he had to speak in Act 2, I was like, that...
I don't remember him talking. When does he speak?
I think he's like talking to the Pharaoh or something.
Maybe. I don't remember. Oh, no, I think it's when he's yelling at the brothers.
Maybe. Is it that late? It might be that late.
It might be that late.
I'm like, that is a British accent. Dang.
Yeah. I loved Jack in this. He's 24 years old and already Olivier nominated. So congrats to you, Jack. And he's so cute. Like, he really is just, like, so cute, so pretty, which is, like, perfect to play Joseph. Like, you gotta be pretty.
He comes across on stage, and I think this is intentional, like, as part of the character of Joseph, like, young. Like,
yes.
Very young. He plays young well, and he is young, but, you know, when he's, like, innocent. Yes, he's, like, jostling naive. His brothers with the food. He's, like, looking at his coat. Like, he comes across as, like, a 16-year-old.
It's funny, because I was thinking the same thing, like, when you see him serious, you're like, oh, he's whatever age. And then he, like, cracks the smile, and you're like, oh, you're young. You're very young. And it's great for this part.
And it is interesting because this show spans, like, well, seven, like, prosperous years of farming and then 7 years of drought. So, you know, he doesn't see his brothers until 15 years later. So this show spans...
We don't really...
A long time. You don't need to focus on it, but this show, like, literally, like, 14 years later, I'm like, how old are we now? What is the passage of time?
Yeah.
And yeah, he does play, like, a more mature when he's in Egypt, when he's working for the Pharaoh. He's the Pharaoh's right-hand man. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's interesting. He did what he could with the material he had to work with, which is honestly not much for a show called Joseph and the Chucky Boy Dreamcoat. The character of Joseph is a supporting role.
Well, in this production, 100%, but in most productions, yes. His Close Every Door to Me.
He has two songs.
Okay, but the one of the two songs, stunning. He killed it. Mm-hmm. He optioned up. He's riffing away. I appreciate. And maybe that is why he's been doing it for so many years now, because it's not like...
Sure.
A Dear Evan Hansen, you know? Like, he's not
vocally or emotionally taxing.
No. Although my mom and I were discussing at intermission, like, other roles Jack could play. I'm like, well, obviously, Fiero.
I was going to say Fiero. He's wearing these white pants, but these white pants are, like, loose. He needs a tight white pant.
The tight white pant would work for Jack as well. And then I'm also like, what about Marius? I think he'd be such a great Marius.
Sure.
Yeah. Same kind of character.
Yeah, yeah. They're
both the same.
It's not really stretching to play Marius here.
Yeah. And also, if this doesn't go to Broadway, like, Jack, move on. You've done your time. It's time to move
this
on.
This should be the end for Jack. This
Unless he goes to Broadway,
be
because then go to Broadway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure,
Broadway.
Sure, sure.
But if not...
Yeah, don't be going to Australia to do this show. Don't be Australia's got somebody. Don't be...
Yes.
Don't be going back to the West End. Like,
no.
Onward and upwards.
I think it's still on in the West End. Maybe not, like, in the West End, but they're definitely, like, UK touring
in it. In the UK. This is what I was thinking. Another thing I was thinking when I was watching the show, the UK taste is so different from the North American taste.
They live for this show in the UK.
The style that they
and
have,
I also kind of live for it here, but, like, not in the same way.
But, yeah, the style that they have is so different from, like, and what is considered, like, prestigious there is very different from
totally
the style, like, that is here. In North America. Mm-hmm. I don't think North America would ever put on a show so, like, earnest as this show is. I don't know. Even though there were, like, cheeky moments, like, it was very, like, straightforward. And America would always want to, and, like, North America would be like, how can we make this gritty? How can we make this dark? Mm-hmm, or how mm-hmm. can we make this, like, oh, winking. Oh, we're in on the joke. We know this is, like, silly. Like, this was just, like, straightforward. And I was like, that's very West End of them. I don't know.
There were some funny, like, moments, though, especially with the kids. When the kids played Potiphar, I was like, this is funny to me.
That was funny.
Yeah, and then I would say, like, before we get to the person who, like, literally never leaves the stage, let's talk about Pharaoh, because
yes.
I think that, like, 6 minutes, I always, like, compare stuff to if it were to be on Broadway, and that is a performance that, like, would be nominated for solely 7 minutes of stage time. Played by Tosh... I can't pronounce his last name.
Wanago Mode? Mod? I didn't even try. I didn't even look at it until right now.
They introduce him as Tosh in the Megamix.
Sure.
I
love
giving...
when they do that. I love when they're like, they say people's real names. The last time
great.
I remember this was when I saw School of Rock and they introduced all the kids by their real names at the end.
That's
crying.
Cute. Yeah. This man, like, I feel like his performance every single night is different because he is doing the most. It's like an Elvis impersonation, which has always been the style of Pharaoh, previously played by the dad in The Suite Life of Zack and Cody in the 1999 Andrew Lloyd Webber movie musical of Joseph. And he's kind of doing like Elvis meets James Brown, and the vocal range that he has is truly unbelievable. It's like wild what's happening on stage.
Even the set that's around him when he's
amazing.
Performs, like Welcome to Egypt in like a style of, like a Las Vegas thing. His cape says the king on the back. It's very clear like an Elvis reference, as it always has been.
Also the like Sphinx, the like robotic Sphinx that like get guitars every time it comes
yes.
in and their mouths are moving. Like this is a really great set moment. I loved that. The whole like Egypt scene was really good.
And it doesn't come until act two, so it's great.
No, there was
like
a moment when
it.
Yeah, like Mervish is showing it in the trailer, but I feel like they shouldn't because it's kind of like a surprise when it happens. The first time I saw it, the crowd was like hollering. The second time, not as much, but like Tuesday
sure.
in like end of January is rough.
Also,
yeah.
Because this is not a subscription show.
This is an issue too.
Because it's not a subscription show, there's a lot of people who, and this is good, love this. There's a lot of people who are seeing shows that like don't normally see shows. The people behind me, there were two couples who sat behind me when I saw it, who I don't know, it's very interesting to listen to people's conversations because they really had no idea what they were there for. They
really
did not, they did not know. They were like, you know, I don't know if they've ever been to the theater before based on the conversation that I was listening to. I think they just thought, oh, like this is a good night out. There was a sale on tickets, like, why not? These two couples had never been to the theater before.
Wow.
And I was just, and I turned around a little bit when they were speaking during the show, as people do. I was like, hello. But I was like, I think that's very true for many people in this audience,
mm-hmm.
especially when it's not a subscription show, that, especially later in the run, a lot of people who are not theater goers. So you don't know like what's acceptable to react or what to react to or what you should be
mm-hmm.
like seeing or not seeing. Like, I find it very interesting.
What a show to go to for a first theatrical experience.
I don't know if that's what I would recommend. I do not know if this is what I would recommend.
I also don't know that they'll ever see another show again after seeing
no,
this.
I think there might be one and done. One
it's
and
over.
Done.
Again, before we get to, like, the main woman, a couple other people to shout out. Where are you Ruben. Matt Gibson, who plays Ruben, he is really lead vocals on, I think it's called One More Angel in Heaven, which you think went on for like 10 minutes too long.
Oh my God.
I love that number, but we'll talk about numbers in a minute. And then the other person to shout out is Will Hawksworth, who plays Simeon and his Canaan Days. These men serving vocals for a very long time because these songs are at least 5.5 to 6 minutes long.
Those Canaan Days never ended. Like, never ended to me. I was like, guys, Act 2 does not need to be this long. Act 1 was 42 minutes max.
Act 2 was also like 42 minutes max because the 10 minutes of Megamix.
Yeah, it was
anyway,
weird.
And then the true star of the show, the narrator, Vanessa Fisher. Who actually wasn't supposed to be here. It was supposed to be someone else, but I believe that she is on maternity leave right now.
Oh.
There was a lot of people that rotated in and out of that role in the West End. She never leaves the stage. She also, unlike previous versions of Joseph, she plays Jacob. She also plays Potiphar's wife. She plays, like, random, like, inmate at the jail cell. And she's in, like, all of the Egypt numbers. I thought she was amazing, and there were moments when I was like, wow, you are belting, and it's sounding so good right now. And then something that my mom pointed out, which I 100% agree, she enunciated every single word. So every, like, piece of narration of the story was so clearly told because you could hear every single thing that she was singing.
It's very important because, again, no one else is really saying anything. She is telling the entire story, and it was very clear everything she was saying.
Yeah.
And I thought she was amazing. She was wonderful in the show. I did not like her as, like, Jacob.
You didn't? Neither did my mom.
No, I did not like her, like, wearing the beard and then pulling it off and then putting it back on. I thought that was, like, very distracting. I thought it was very weird.
Maybe this is a
different function of it. Maybe they could
innovative
in
thing
way,
that they're trying. This is what they're like. We're trying something different here. We're trying something
like
new.
They
should have
had
a kid
like
play Jacob.
Yeah, like, a kid play Jacob, like, wear the beard, and maybe she could have, like, sung behind him instead of having the kids sing it, like, kind of, like, put words in their mouth. I don't know, but, like, her, like, pulling the beard on and off was, like, very distracting. Did not like it.
The man beside me, who literally, I assume, bought his rush ticket, like, 5 minutes before the show started, was living for her. Especially
She's
as
amazing.
Jacob.
She's wonderful.
No, but,
she's
like,
wonderful.
As all of these other characters,
Jacob.
He, like, loved it so much. Laughing at every single, like, beard moment.
Also, in this production, the, like, Potiphar's wife sexual assault situation.
Oh,
I was
but
like,
that happens in every production of Joseph.
I know, but it just had never occurred to me before, or it was, like, very, like, jarring in this production to me.
The Joan Collins version in the Donnie video is, like, way more sexualized than
I'm sure
this.
It is. I'm sure it is. But I was just like, oh, I do not like this.
The, like, bear suit was a choice, or whatever that
was.
Yeah,
that was weird. That was weird. Yeah, so many, like, interesting choices made in this production. So many interesting choices that I guess just, like, from the show, but why?
Mm-hmm. No, I know. She's also wearing running shoes in this show because she's doing the most.
She's working. She's working hard. She needs to have support.
She's in every dance too. Like, she's doing everything. And she is the final bow, which is correct. She
deserved,
should be.
Deserved. No, absolutely. Joseph should not be the final bow. He doesn't do anything.
He's the second last. He's on the stage more than Pharaoh is to get the second last bow.
Sure.
But, yeah.
Pharaoh is doing the teen angel track. You know what I mean? Like, he comes in, he sings Beauty School Dropout, and then he pieces out. Like, that's what his job is.
It's the King George track. It's the teen angel track. It's the...
Exactly.
Yeah. There's always
embarrassed to get a paycheck. Do you think he's singing backstage or no?
Like, with the chorus?
Oh, probably not. It's just one
I don't
person.
Think
probably
so.
Not.
Yeah, where we do
Though
know
I know
that,
King
like,
George and Hamilton does, so...
He does, yeah. I don't think he is.
The other half of the kids are, right?
Yeah, so there's eight or nine kids on stage.
I counted when I saw it, there were 8 kids on stage.
I think the other group is 9.
Interesting.
So there are, depending on the night, 8 or 9 kids that are on stage. I've seen the same group of kids.
You saw it
twice.
I saw it once. We've only seen one group of kids.
We've only seen one group of kids.
Who are they?
Also,
who are the other group?
I've also met that group of kids. So, like, I only know the 8 children that I've seen on stage. And yes, the, like, labor laws here in Canada, I'm sure they're very similar in the UK and the States, is that even if you are, like, there's 16 or 17 people cast in the show children, eight of them or nine of them are on stage singing, but you have to be there off stage singing as well. I also think it's one of those things that, like, if someone gets sick, like, someone else has to run
happens.
On.
There's another kid available for them. The kid, yeah. They don't want the kids to feel like pressured to perform, is my guess. Mm-hmm. So they always have like backups for all of them.
And we were saying, you were asking me off the mic, like if who would like I be obsessed with? I would be obsessed with the narrator, but like who would you be obsessed with if you were a kid in that show?
That's a great question. Yeah, you know.
The kids are obsessed with Jack. Like, hands down, he is God to them. He is not Joseph. He is God.
when you're young, anyway, like, it's funny. Jack is, you know, 10 years older than these kids.
Maybe he's also a child. Yes.
Like, he's truly not that much older than them. Even the ensemble members, probably early 20s, mid-20s. Yeah. Truly not that much older than these kids. But they seem so much more mature and so much bigger and so much cooler than ever. I'd probably be obsessed with Jack because he was a boy, obviously.
Yes, it's true. And he's so cute. And he's
got the coat. And he's Joseph.
He's got the coat. Yeah, he's got the coat. And the coat means a lot. I do know that there are three coats in this production because there's one that obviously he is spinning around. Then there's one that has to get like tossed in blood. And then there's like a third backup coat.
A backup coat. So this is my question, not my question, but I know understudies are supposed to have their own costumes.
Coat?
So I wonder, do you think the understudy for Joseph...
Maybe that's the third coat.
...has their own coat, or do you think they work the coat as, like, a prop so they can share a coat? Because, Tara, how expensive is the coat? Can you tell us?
Yes. So, a slight backstory here. The cast of Joseph came to my work. I will not say where I work, but they came to my work, and I was a part of a conversation of the price of the coat from the UK. So it was, this is in like, actually, if it's in pounds, it's
pounds,
more
that's
expensive.
Crazy. If it's in pounds, that's insane.
It might be, I don't know, because I walked into the conversation like slightly late. So it's either in pounds or it's in US dollars or Canadian dollars, whatever. So there are three coats. The inside lining, which is gold, is $15,000. And the coat itself is $60,000. So times three. A lot of money, a lot of liability with that coat. I feel like when the cast flew from the West End to Toronto, they were like, it was probably like
carry
fragile.
There
was like,
on.
Yeah, maybe Jack wore the coat on the plane because like it's his, but very expensive. But yeah, I think it's beautiful. I think that coat is stunning.
It is really nice. It's a very nice coat.
I don't know that it's worth that much money.
No,
but it's
you can definitely
beautiful.
Do it for much cheaper. You can definitely do it. But it's very nicely weighted. It's nicely weighted.
So
which
he said
is,
it's heavy. Like, the kids mm-hmm. had said that it was heavy, and he said it's, like, decently heavy. So when he's, like, spinning around in it, he's sweaty. Like, it's
so
heavy.
A lot of times these coats, like, they flop around. This coat does not flop.
It's
like,
well-structured.
It supports
yeah.
itself. When he's yeah. spinning, you know, it keeps its shape, but it's just, like, has air under it, which I think, like, the coat does its job. But also, like, he doesn't wear it that much. He wears it at the beginning, then it gets taken from him, and then he gets it back at the end.
It like, gets put into, like, security. Like, that's where it goes. But
yeah,
that's a good point, like, about, like, it being a prop and for the understudy, because especially when he, like, first gets that coat, it comes mm-hmm. out on, like, a mannequin. So it is technically, like, a prop.
Right. But yeah, sometimes there are, like, union rules. And I don't know if these... I don't think these rules quite exist in the UK, but union rules... in the U.S. for sure, are the understudy has to have their own dedicated costume that is like just as good quality as the principal actor's costume. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge expense if they have to be making a coat for an understudy who is going on mm-hmm. far less than your principal.
Yeah, it might be different in the UK, or it might have changed because, as we know, the Ladies of Six, the alternates all had their own costumes, and then on Broadway,
they had to get the exact same costumes as the principals.
Yeah, where I don't know, I haven't seen enough videos like from the West End in the last like year to know if they're wearing the like their own alternate costumes. I'm not sure, but like we watched many a Mega Six where there's like a silver outfit, there's like a whatever like pants outfit that doesn't exist on Broadway. So that is a good point. I never thought of that, but yeah, the coat's great. Let's talk about songs, speaking of the coat.
Wow. Okay.
favorite? Do you have a favorite? I know what you hate, but let's get the hate ones out of the way first.
Okay. To me, Benjamin Calypso is the worst song ever.
It's very confused, like instrumentally. Like, ALW, what were you thinking?
Oh no, naughty, naughty. How you can accuse him is a mystery.
Save him,
save him.
this, I was like, oh, I kind of get what you're doing here. Every song or a lot of the songs are different musical styles. And then with that, Joanne Hunter, the choreographer, all of these songs have different dance styles associated with them. So Go, 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 Joseph has, like, they were in cheerleading outfits and they were, like, stepping.
This is new, though. It's not always
this is
like
new,
a cheerleader.
But, yeah. But you know, One More Angel in Heaven is always a country song, right? Like, yes. Benjamin Calypso is always, like, Calypso drums, whatever. Those Canaan Days is this, like, French song. Okay, my favorite song in the whole show.
Okay, so wait, least favorite song was Benjamin Calypso.
My least favorite song is Benjamin Calypso.
Also, we're not even going to, like, discuss the cultural appropriation, but, like, just know it exists because
here we are. Right. Yeah. I wonder if it was always a black actor singing Benjamin Calypso.
Or if that's
specific to, like, this newer production. I don't remember. It was in the Donny Osmond, I believe it was.
The video it is, yes. Because it's Judah that sings the number. Yeah.
Yeah, Benjamin Calypso.
Like, every production, it's Judah who sings it, whoever plays Judah.
Whoever plays Judah.
Which, in this case, it was a child. And then someone else came in to sing with her.
Right.
Which is a girl. It is a girl. I only know this because I met her. But it is a girl. And she...
Okay, I was thinking this. I was like, that brother is a girl. And
yeah.
That's amazing.
I think she got the part because she's quite tall. And a lot of the other girls are not. And then there's, like, one additional boy that wasn't a brother, and he's quite short. So I think you got to be tall to be a brother is what I gather.
Sure. Interesting.
So better, like, next time, kids.
Interesting. My favorite song, probably Jacob and Sons.
Great. It's great.
Jacob and Sons. Jacob and Sons. I had so much joy in me for, like, the first, like, 20 minutes of this show. And then it got quite inconsistent. But, like, those first 20 minutes, I was like, slay.
Because you get to, like, One More Angel in Heaven and then Potiphar and you're like, I'm out.
One More Angel in Heaven, fun, really long. The whole
Potiphar also the tap situation. Number in Jacob and Sons.
Yes, they were tapping. They were wearing, like, sandals that were tap shoes. No, that was in One More Angel in Heaven, wasn't it? They were tapping there.
No, that line dancing is One More Angel in Heaven.
I swear they were tapping in One More Angel in Heaven.
They tap before that.
I swear it was One More Angel in Heaven. One More Angel in Heaven went on for like 15 straight minutes.
It does go on like, for a long time, but first the brothers dance alone, then the wives come out, then the kids come out, but the tap is not there. The tap is earlier.
I am
pretty confident.
Honestly, it doesn't really matter.
I did
don't
see
remember.
It 40
Two days
hours
ago.
Ago.
I saw it on Friday.
But I also could be very wrong, so I don't know.
All I know is that One More Angel in Heaven was fun, was good. Again, that was the point where I was like, oh, they're playing with, like, different musical styles. Like, each character has their own, like...
Yeah.
Or each, like, song moment has its own musical style, and then they're costumed in that way, and then the choreography is that way, and the singing style is that way. But I was like, guys, wrap it up.
There's one more angel in heaven. There's one more star in the sky. Joseph will never forget you. It's tough, but we're gonna get by. There's one last...
The brothers, though, have a lot to do in this. It's giving Newsies.
The brothers are great. Whenever the brothers were all together, I'm like, talent, but...
And good dancers, a lot of them.
Wrap it up.
For me, just because I, like, live for the narrator, anytime she's narrating, I actually, like, really enjoy those songs. Mm-hmm. Specifically the prologue, I love the, like, and it could be you moment, and then the kids all, like, repeat back to her. Same with, like, A Pharaoh Story, Joseph, Pharaoh's number two, like, all of those little motifs I really like, but I feel like... The best, like, two songs in the show are Any Dream Will Do and Close Every Door to Me.
A crash of drums, a flash of light, my golden coat flew out of sight. The colors faded into darkness, I was left alone. May I return?
when Joseph gets to sing. Close Every Door was really great in this production. And actually, that's the vivid memory I have of the Donnie video from before I rewatched it this weekend, is Donnie, like, in his, like, loincloth.
And the wig.
The,
like,
and the wig, the wig. The wig was something. Close every door. When Donnie was on The Masked Singer,
I know, the wig.
They would bring out clues, and he brought out this wig, and they're like, "Oh, what is this?" I'm like, "That is."
The Joseph
knew it was Donny Osmond, but I was like, "That just sealed the deal. That is Donny Osmond in that peacock outfit."
Yeah, he was great on The Masked Singer.
Oh, he was great. This is the greatest show.
I was gonna say, didn't he sing Greatest Showman? But
he did sing Greatest Showman.
Yeah.
Donny Osmond on The Masked Singer. Wow, what a time. So that's my vivid memory of that
production
is Close Every Door. And I think Close Every Door was a highlight of this production.
He also, like, we said it earlier, but, like, he sounded amazing on that song. And fresh vocals on Tuesday night for Jack. So
yeah,
for
show of the week. Day off. This is where I might
Although,
criticize.
When he sang Any Dream Will Do, like, when I at work, this the vocals that he was giving at 10 o'clock in the morning, I was like, damn, how are you doing this right now? But, like, I don't know. I guess because he doesn't do much else,
he can just sing It's not that vocally taxing on him. He does not need an alternate to do two different shows a week. He's fine doing all eight.
Yeah.
I would say Go, 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 Joseph, because I love that energy. However, this is where I talk about the sound problems at the Princess of Wales in Toronto.
Oh, I thought the choreography.
The choreography is whatever.
The face choreography.
He's like... So stupid.
It's like just a head turn, but no, it's but like so weird.
Like Jack gives absolutely no energy to this.
No. He doesn't go, 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 Joseph, but he doesn't in the Megamix.
In the Megamix, he's tired. He's like, I am changing out of my clothes right now. He's like envisioning walking home. He's just like...
Yeah, because as we know off of Instagram, Jack lives across the street from the theater.
Like, all his pictures are from the window, and he's just like, the theater.
Yeah.
He needs some distance. Yeah, this is where I talk about the sound problems with the Princess of Wales. I could
Which
not
is not
hear.
New, everybody.
No,
this has been an ongoing issue for years, but it does seem to get worse and worse every time we go to a show.
Just at the end of Go, Go, Joseph, obviously everybody's on stage, everybody is belting, everyone's... Like
We've
dancing.
Raised the key three times in one song.
A lot is happening. A lot is happening on stage. And then Joseph and the narrator are kind of going back and forth with, ahead of my time. And I could not hear either of them over the rest of the sound.
Which is funny because I could hear them the other day. I don't know if it was because like my audience was so silent you could hear a pin drop during that song. Or maybe like... Whoever was working the sound booth that night turned up the mics. I don't know.
I was like, I cannot hear them. I was like, these are my favorite riffs in the whole show.
Yeah.
Give me the riffs. And I couldn't.
And Jack did some really good riffs.
I was reading lips when I saw it.
No, but this is an ongoing issue. And one of the more recent times that we noticed it was Adam and Juliet as well. It's just like, you got to work on it, Mervish. You're bringing these big shows. Like, we need to hear them.
When I saw Anne Juliet with my parents, they were like this.
I remember
the
you
sound
saying
mix.
This. Yeah.
And they were off to the side and I moved, there were like some empty seats. It was early in the run. So I moved them like kind of to the dead center and I was like, was the sound better here? But like truly, I was like, yeah, the sound in The Princess of Wales.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we forget sometimes that this was meant to be a temporary theater and that they're talking about tearing it down like
every
few months.
They've been talking about tearing it down for years.
It was built in the 90s? In the 90s?
Yeah.
Early 90s? So,
but it's
yeah.
so big that they should have, like, a really good, I don't know, it's just, like, sometimes they have these, like, giant speakers that they put in, and if you're sitting really close, it's also not good, because all you're hearing is, like, the feedback from a speaker, so it's rough.
Harry Potter at the Ed Mervish is kind of Toronto's biggest, or Mervish's, anyway, biggest theater, and the sound at Harry Potter I found good, but when I saw School of Rock there, not to bring that up again... I was in the balcony.
Another ALW show.
The sound up at the in the balcony was horrible.
Yeah, like, it does really depend on where you sit. And
everyone was so muffled.
I'm trying to think, actually. I feel like when we saw Anne Juliet in the mezzanine, the sound was almost better than in the orchestra.
That was also,
we also like, so it was first, like, the yeah. energy. But it was also like the first row we were picking up. Center is different than side, and you were saying that, like, you were center for Joseph, and it wasn't great.
So I was, like, close to the aisle.
It was okay,
but, like,
when I was there the other day, but it's, yeah, it's something that you gotta fix when you have, like, you can't sacrifice all of these things happening on stage because we can't hear it.
Yeah, it was upsetting, because I was like, this is when Jack is about to give me vocals.
Well, I'm surprised they didn't do it again in the Megamix. They should have done there ahead of your time.
Yeah. Because
but we ended on Give me my amazing colored confetti. That was beautiful. Thank you so much for that.
Thanks. You're welcome. Yeah. Anyway.
Do you have anything else to say on Joseph? I feel like we kind of covered it all.
No, I don't really have anything else to say. Like, in Toronto, honestly, this is a fun show. Like, I don't not recommend it, but I think you have to go in with an understanding that it is...
a kid's show.
...catered towards children.
Yes.
Which is funny. I know. We said we were done, but now I'm not done. When we saw Alice a few weeks ago...
I was thinking about this, too.
That was a kid's show, and yet... it felt a lot more mature than Joseph.
You'll hear us talk about that in, like, a few episodes from now. But, like, yes, it did feel very different than Alice. But, like, not
to say
that it's...
And that was more explicitly catered towards children.
Yeah. I don't know. I like, don't have a problem as much as, like, other people do. I've heard this show feels amateur. I hate the kids. I'm like, how can you hate the kids? Like, that's a strong... Hate is a strong word.
The kids are doing what they're doing. They're cute. They're really cute.
I've heard that the kids are untalented.
Okay, well, while not untrue, a little bit mean, okay?
It is mean. They're just, like, I don't know. Anytime that... I've said this on, like, a million episodes, but, like, anytime a kid is in a show, I'm like... this is the start of their, like, potential career, you know? Like, let's give them a break here. And also, like, some of these boys are really talented. Like, the kid that played the baker, like, let's shout him out, because I thought he was great. He's also the, like, main slip in the program for some reason, and we can't figure it out. Wait, do you have the paper, like, ready? Because I can't find my paper.
I've got the slip.
Oh, here. Isaac Greats Myers. Myers? Yeah. Great. Also, you can see it on his face. Like, he's just so happy to be there, which is, like, exactly what I want. Another one to shout out, the kid that played Potiphar. I truly loved him. Isaac Chan. And when I saw it the first time, his parents were, like, two seats over from us with, like, flowers. They were, like, filming the Megamix. This kid was breakdancing on Tuesday night, like, living his best life. Another one to shout out, Chloe Chung. Amazing. These are all the kids that we saw.
Yeah.
Emma Grace.
Don't know about the other kids. Who knows if they've ever performed? I don't know. Who knows if they've
Emma
ever
Grace
performed?
Stead, she was also amazing. The girl that played the butler, Emily Watt.
What a great voice. Pigtails, so cute. She had
such a great voice.
She was using her mouth. She was opening her mouth. She was projecting.
Anyway, I don't know. We are going to rate it. And for the... new year, we have a new rating system that we are moving it up from 5 to 10. Does this mean anything different? Absolutely not, because a 3 out of 5 and a 7 out of 10 is the exact same thing.
It's not, but that's okay.
Here we are.
A 3 out of 5 and a 6 out of 10.
Six
is the same
out of
thing,
ten
Tara.
Is the same.
Fractions
thing.
Are important, okay?
And this is why I'm in television and you're in accounting. Okay. What are you rating, Joseph?
What am I rating, Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamco? You know, I've thought long and hard about this. I've gone back and forth. And
I sense a 5 coming from you.
You are correct. I am giving this 5 is 50%. Okay?
It's more than 50%.
5.5? Is that what you want from me? 5.5?
I wanted a 6, but yes.
I almost gave it a 6, but then I just committed to a 5. 5, it gave me half of what I was looking for. It was just missing, like, something.
Something.
Something. It was just missing something. So 5 out of 10 loincloths that Joseph wears.
And not in this production, because he's wearing full pants in this production. Because it's a kid
show. He doesn't take his pants off at any point?
No, he's not wearing a shirt, but he's still wearing pants. What Joseph did you see?
I don't know. I swear his pants were up, but maybe I made that
up. The most suggestive costumes are Egypt.
The Egyptian women, which I did not like.
And Pharaoh was wearing, like, shorts.
Yes, okay, can we talk about that for a sec? When the girls were crawling under and looking at his loincloth, and I was like, what's going on here?
Okay, but again, this is, like, a million times less sexualized than previous versions of Joseph. So just imagine it in a different way.
I was like, what is happening here?
He was thrusting to the audience every, he was like, thrusting. 5 seconds.
He was thrusting to the audience. Yeah, I'm going to give it 5 out of 10 loincloths that I thought we saw some thigh, but we only saw Pharaoh's thigh.
No, we definitely did. I think we would have remembered if we saw
Jack's thighs. Jack's thighs. 5 out of 10 of the Pharaoh's thighs, of Tasha's thighs.
Okay, great. I obviously like this production a lot more than you, but I also think that there's issues. And again, I'm not sure why Joseph exists in general, but I love the music and I would recommend. I'm going to give this a 7.5 out of 10 coat of many colors.
How I love my coat of many colors. Can we talk about the Australian?
Yes. Before we move on to obsession, unless that is your obsession.
No, it's not. That's right.
We have been watching many, as Steph mentioned earlier, the Noah Galvin, Joseph Megamix, which honestly, I think we watch like once a month, like every month, and it's been for like 2 years.
When I slept over at your place before we went to bed, we're just like,
let's watch Joseph Megamix. Yeah, exactly. And yeah, that Megamix is on YouTube. The rehearsal video gives us the best Jessica Vosk riff, but someone else that gives a great riff. The Australian production of Joseph, I don't even know who's playing Joseph, so I can't even shout you out. But, like, what were you doing? Were you looking up Megamixes to hear other people sing it, and then you just found this?
I found it. It was the first one I clicked on. It was Australian Joseph Megamix, and this Joseph,
I'll insert a clip, so everyone can
I'm going to do all riffs ever in this, you know,
but
four bars.
But what's confusing to me is that there's no clapping, so I'm wondering if it was, like, a rehearsal of some sorts, so that's why he like let loose.
I look handsome, I look smart, I am a walking work of art. Such a dazzling coat of many colors, how I love my coat of many colors. It was, hey!
Most of the time you're not allowed to do that, you're just supposed to like stick to the notes, but this man said no.
Jack stuck to the notes, but this man said, I will not be restrained.
And it's on the cockiest line of, I look handsome, I look smart, I am a walking work of art.
Walking work of art.
It's great. as we said at the beginning of this episode, Joseph is currently on stage at the Princess of Wales in Toronto, and it is ending on February 18th, so you still have a couple weeks to see Joseph. Rush tickets are still available. And again, at time of episode record, but since this release is only a few days later, there are deals. So, like, look for the deals online if you are looking to buy tickets in advance, or, like, if you have kids or whatever, because if you have kids, that's also really hard to, like, rush on the day of. So there are some, like, family deals out there. If you buy, like, 4 tickets, I think it's discounted. But there is Rush for $59. And we shall see if it ever goes to Broadway. I don't know. Maybe by the time this episode comes... Actually, no. If they're going to announce it, it would be at the end of the run.
Not this season.
No, it can't be this season. But if it's not this season, like, are they going to wait for it? Unless it comes out in the summer.
It's a summer show, actually. I think it's a very summer show.
So we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, that's our thoughts on Joseph. And it's now time for our obsession of the week.
Okay, my obsession is slightly different, but than a usual obsession, because it's not something I can point you to or give you a link to. But starting this, so people know, let's give some backstory. If you listened to the podcast before, you know that I grew up taking dance classes from the age of like 2 to 18, and then I taught for many years. That's actually how Tara and I met. We were working at a theater camp, whatever, blah blah blah. But I haven't really danced in a very long time, and I've been missing it very much. So I found an adult ballet class near my home I've been looking for one for a very long time.
This is news to me.
I know. I didn't tell you because I was waiting to spring it on you on the show.
On the episode.
On the episode. I kept this. I restrained myself. I found like an adult ballet class very close to my home that I've been going to. I was supposed to go last night, but we had a huge snowstorm. It was canceled. But I've been going to for a few weeks starting in January.
Oh, my God.
And so that is my obsession. It is, you know, finding small ways to, like, still be, you know, in not in performing, but, you know.
No, but, like, in the community.
Yeah, being in the community or just, like, things that you did when you were younger that I'm sure other people miss stuff like this as well. And I was, like, so happy to, like, get to go back and be in a dance studio, be corrected, being told that my posture's bad. Like, you know.
Do you have your own ballet? Like, did you have to buy?
I had ballet shoes from before.
You had them. That's
I had them
you?
Still. They still, yeah. I've been,
oh, because you were 18. Yeah, yeah.
I was
18.
Yeah. I looked the same. Yes. They're in rough shape, but yes, I use my old ballet shoes, and I don't have to wear like pink tights or anything. I can wear like leggings and like a top,
great,
which is also good.
How many people are in the class?
So like eight people, and it ranges from like teenagers to I would say like mid 30s, maybe 40s.
Oh, that's so fun.
So yeah, it's been very fun. So yeah,
are
my obsession.
Sore? How's the workout?
The day after the first class, I was so
I'm
sore.
Sure.
My legs were so sore.
Well, it's just like muscles you haven't moved in many years.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And like, not that I was ever the most flexible person, but I was much more flexible at a time than I am now. And I was doing like a thing with my leg and the teacher was like pulling it. And I was like, my body doesn't
You're
do
like,
that
I
anymore.
Can't move this way.
My leg does not do that anymore. So I was like, girl, like, stop. Like, do what I can do. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my obsession. Going back, taking ballet class. I signed up for 1 8-week session. We'll see if I keep doing it after. But it's been very fun. And so highly recommend anyone else kind of trying to find the same kind of thing near them.
This is your road to community theater. You're working
my road
it up
to community
so that
theater.
You
yes,
can
exactly.
Get to...
I'm building that stamina back up. I'm building that
so
stamina.
That you can be a dancer in an ensemble of a show.
Yeah,
this
exactly.
Is what you're really working
exactly.
towards.
Exactly.
No, I love that. That's amazing. And I can't believe you've been doing this and you haven't told me. That's so exciting.
I've been to two classes. Supposed to be three, but again, one was canceled because of the
snowstorm.
Terrifying snowstorm in Toronto.
I know, but even after you go to work, like, proud of you.
Yeah, on Wednesdays, which is a day I work from the office, too.
Yeah.
So. It's at 8:30 p.m. So
okay.
It's fine.
Great.
Yeah, I make it up. Anyway, Tara, what's your obsession this week?
It's something I watched last week, and I have been seeing like promos for it for the last like few months, and I didn't know what day it was coming out, and then I just turned on Disney Plus, and there it was. And it's the Idina Menzel documentary, Which Way to the Stage. Now, this documentary takes place over her 2018 tour, which I didn't know that she was, like, double bill with Josh Groban. Did you know this?
I did not know that. That's
they
like
definitely
4 years
did not come
ago.
Here. Yeah, and they definitely did not come to Canada, because I feel like we would have known about it.
I don't know.
If they came
Josh
to
Groban
Toronto.
Was here last year.
Was he?
Yes, I think at, like, Molson, and, like, I only know this because Larry
Molson.
Ward... I think it was Molson. A Larry Ward opened for him.
Yes, I knew that. Oh,
but I only figured out. I only figured out like when it was happening.
I knew that she was opening for him in the States, mm-hmm. but I didn't know that
yeah,
he came here.
Yeah.
He's barely in this documentary. He's in it for like
That's
2
fine.
Seconds because it's
That's
like
fine.
I think like Idina is the opener and he's like technically like the main event and then they sing like two songs together. One
it's not
from
his
chess.
Story. It's not his story. It's her story.
No, it's not his story. And I feel like over the years, like. Just being a fan of hers and watching like many interviews of her doing Wicked and all that, I knew a lot about her life, but it actually turns out I knew nothing about her life. And it's very interesting to watch how this industry like affects her. The most interesting thing to me is that like this woman is a mother first and that's all that matters to her. Mm-hmm. Her son Walker is in a lot of this documentary. She does talk about her relationship with Taye Diggs and how they like co-parent their son, but like every single chance that she can get, she is on FaceTime with him. She is watching his basketball games via FaceTime. She's doing homework with him via FaceTime. She's working her like tour schedule so they can go trick-or-treating together. It's like very lovely to see because I feel like Idina to me for some reason is like someone that has an edge. And this documentary like completely breaks that down and shows that she's like a human. Also, this entire like 2018 tour, she was on like an IVF journey, which
wow.
It actually didn't end up like
didn't
she
work.
Just stopped doing it because it was too hard on her body. But like this is all information I feel like was not open to the public until this moment. It's a great watch. It's very quick. She does some like really good renditions of the songs that you love that she sings. And the whole point of the documentary is to end up at Madison Square Garden, which is her like dream venue. And when she sings Defying Gravity there, it's like a very emotional moment. I was obviously crying. It was just like, it was very lovely. And I'd like to see her do something again on stage. I think she's doing something like out of town somewhere, because I read this like kind of recently. I don't know if it's a play or a musical, because the last thing she did on Broadway was a play, I believe.
Skin Tight. But was that off Broadway though? Idina Menzel. What's she doing?
Oh,
right,
maybe
now?
It was off Broadway. She is remarried. She also talks about how when she met her current husband. Yeah. When she met him, or they had been friends before, and then they ended up like getting together, and then they ended up getting married. But she says that when they first went out for a date, they were both like, I don't want to get married. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, the next thing you know, there's a rabbi in my backyard and we're doing a ceremony. So
that's too funny.
And they wanted to have a kid together, even though, like, she says he's a great stepdad to her son. Like, they really wanted to have a kid together, but it didn't work out. Yeah, she's doing something for sure, but I don't know what it is. But they do talk about Rent a lot and how, like, 1996 obviously changed her life. She used to be, like, a wedding bar mitzvah singer and then did Rent. And then, obviously, Wicked again. But she really says that, like, Frozen really changed everything for her, because that's when
mainstream
knew her. And then they showed clips from when she was in like Uncut Gems with Adam Sandler. Like, she's done a lot of Uncut stuff Gems. That I didn't even realize.
I didn't know she was in Uncut Gems. I didn't know she
she's
was
his
Gems.
His wife, but I never saw it. But I was like, oh, Adina.
So interesting.
Her most iconic role in previous years was obviously stepmother in the Camila Cabello Cinderella.
Oh, I was gonna say Enchanted. Her role in Enchanted.
She doesn't sing Material Girl.
You're right. She does not sing Material Girl. Yeah, you're right. She does not sing Material Girl in Enchanted. Yes, yeah, so someone was saying, I can't remember who, Adina has been kind of in three separate cultural phenomenons with Rent, Wicked, and Frozen. And that's pretty crazy
That's so interesting,
you know,
yeah.
Most people don't get any, and if you're famous, you maybe get one or two, but like three cultural phenomenons within 20 years, like, and spread over a long career too, because Rent was 1996. Wicked, like, 2003, and then Frozen, like, 2013. So that's, like, time spread over those things. She's had such a long career.
And it's not it's like great. She was just, like, a random in Frozen. She is main character. So
absolutely.
And they also do, like, I've heard her say this before, but obviously she was, again, well-known for the Adele Dazeem moment at the Oscars.
Yes, that was actually her fourth cultural moment.
Well, she said, like, she became an overnight celebrity, like, because of that. Because everyone knew who she was because
was
of that moment. And
that
she says
crazy.
That he still sends her flowers sometimes.
You know what? And she deserves, because, dang.
What a moment, John Travolta. We'll never forget that.
Adele. Does he? What?
Anyway, this documentary is on Disney Plus. I highly recommend. She just seems like a wonderful person, and what a like talent to continue to do this. And yeah, maybe she'll have a fifth cultural moment in her life when she's like in her 60s or 70s or 80s. Maybe she'll be doing Defying Gravity at 80 years old.
The best is yet to come for Adina.
The best is yet to come. Yeah.
Exciting.
Yeah. So that's our obsession of the week. That's also our thoughts on Joseph. And our next episode is our way too early 2023 Tony nominations. We had a lot of fun with that episode. And I feel like so many things have changed since we recorded. There's like new rumors that have come out. So there's a lot going on in this Broadway
community.
More casting. Yeah. Has come out. A lot of stuff. You can listen to that episode, and before that one comes out, you can subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. You can listen to all of our other previous episodes. You can also watch us on YouTube, and don't forget to subscribe.
And you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Off2BOAPodcast with the number 2, and let us know what you thought of Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat.
And we will see you guys next time.
Bye.